And welcome to the reading of the Waterloo Cedar Falls paper, The Courier, for Tuesday, May 11th, 2021. I'm your reader, Mary Dove. We have a pretty sunny day today with a high of 63 and a low of 35 for our forecast. The front page of The Courier, our headlines read, Waterloo Man Wins $2 Million Lotto Prize, a dazzling display, Waverly Shellrock buys land for school, and the last headline reads, Reynolds OK's diversity plan ban, transfer deadline waiver. We'll start off with the headline, Waterloo Man Wins $2 Million Lotto Prize by Courier staff, Clive. A Waterloo man has claimed two prizes he won in Saturday's Powerball drawing, one a bit bigger than the other. Antone Garrett claimed a total of $2,021 in Powerball prizes. He bought five Powerball plays on one ticket for Saturday's drawing, and on one of those plays, he won a $21 prize. On another, he won $2 million. He chose his own numbers, playing a combination of family birthdays, anniversaries, and other significant dates. I always dreamed I would win, Garrett said as he claimed his prize Monday at Iowa Lottery headquarters in Clive. It's something I could just see. Garrett, 48, who works at Tyson's Food in Waterloo as a forklift operator, bought his winning ticket at New Star Liquor, 1625 West 4th Street. On one of his plays, he initially matched the first five numbers, but missed the Powerball to win a $1 million prize. But he also added the power play option to his ticket, which multiplied that prize to $2 million. It multiplied his smaller prize from an initial $7 to $21. His ticket was the only person in the country to win a $2 million prize in Saturday's drawing. Garrett's wife, Astrid, traveled with him as he claimed his prize and admitted that she had given him a hard time about buying lottery tickets. But I did good Saturday, Garrett said with a laugh. Winning Saturday's numbers were 12, 17, 20, 21, and 26, and the Powerball number 8. The power play number was 3. No one matched all six numbers to win the jackpot, so the big prize claims to be an estimated $168 million annuity, $117 million lump sum option for Wednesday. The New Star Liquor will receive a $2,000 bonus from the Iowa Lottery for selling the $2 million winning ticket. Garrett said he learned early Sunday that he had won a big prize when he stopped at another nearby store for coffee and had the clerk there check his Powerball tickets. The lottery terminal unexpectedly began printing out ticket receipts and a prize claim form. The machine started spitting out all this paper, Garrett said. The clerk said, "What's all this?" Then he read and he said, "I think you won $2 million. Garrett said that he and his wife plan to invest his winnings for retirement and buy a new home. Garrett's prize is Iowa's second big Powerball win this year. In February, a Western Iowa man claimed a $500,000 prize, Powerball prize. Gene Dice Sr. of Sergeant Bluff had purchased his ticket at a local convenience store for the February 20th drawing. The article's accompanied with a picture of Garrett Antone Garrett, and the caption reads, claimed a total of $2,021 in Powerball prizes. He bought five Powerball plays on one ticket for Saturday's drawing, and on one of those plays, he won a $21 prize. On another, he won $2 million. Congratulations to Mr. Garrett. Our next headline on the front page of The Courier, a dazzling display. Michael Jackson items among collectibles at Waterloo Auction by journalist Sidney Krizen, Waterloo. Colorful old school soda machines, hundreds of 1920s toy cars, intricately painted Native American pottery, a sparkling glove from Michael Jackson's performance of Billie Jean. Quirky antiques filled the exhibit hall at the Five Sullivan Brothers Convention Center in downtown Waterloo. A handful of employees from Rich Penn Auctions are in the final stretch of their weeks-long setup for their first large auction in nearly a year, which will feature nearly 2,000 items. people can participate online or go in person for free beginning at 8 a.m. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. A preview event of the items is happening from 2 to 5 p.m. on Thursday. Rich Penn, owner of the auction company, said the items came from across the country. About 6,000 online bidders from more than 60 countries will participate in the weekend event, Penn said, and they'll compete against any in-person bidders who show up at the convention center. The people that come, they love this stuff. They'll walk in here and they'll be flabbergasted, Penn said. I'll bet you there is not another option in this country that you can go to this year that's going to have this large variety of this quality stuff. There are chances for people to land both affordable and pricey items, Penn said, but the key is to be patient. The highest in-person bidders for desired antiques will pay the convention center and take home their new prized possession the same day, Penn said. If you're a collector, what something is worth has nothing to do with what it might cost you, Penn said. This market is really driven not by market factors, but by just how much people like and want stuff. And that's a function of style and fashion and complicity and timing. The Michael Jackson items are drawing worldwide attention, Penn said. The memorabilia was donated by Robert Swenson, a man who helped build former amusement park Neverland Ranch, where Jackson once lived. He just decided that it's time to let other collectors enjoy it, Penn said. It's kind of funny that it ended up in Waterloo, Iowa, of all places. We just thought we could do a good job with it. Items from Swenson's collections include signed shoes, clothing, fedoras, including one he wore in the black or white music video. They will be the last 100 items up for auction Saturday afternoon. Penn said to coordinate with international time zones for online bidders. The slew of items include the biggest soda machine collection sold by Rich Penn Auctions in the last 12 years, Penn said, and the largest toy car collection sold in the last 15 or 20 years. If you're not dazzled in every direction you look, we haven't done our job, Penn said. There's pretty amazing stuff everywhere. Penn, who staged his auctions at the Five Sullivan Brothers Convention Center for the last few years, called the facility's new renovations a wonderful improvement. He remembered coming in early at past auctions to take fallen paint chips from the ceiling off expensive antiques before bidders arrived. This facility is going to end up being a really beautiful place to do auctions, and we'll probably continue to come them here, Penn said. It's perfect for us. The article is accompanied by a picture of Rich Penn, and the caption reads, "Auction company owner Rich Penn touches a jacket worn by Michael Jackson during a Billie Jean performance. It will be featured in a weekend auction event at the Five Sullivan Brothers Convention Center in downtown Waterloo." All right, our next article on the front page of the Waterloo Courier for May 11th. The headline reads, "Waverly Shellrock buys land for school. School board spends $577,200 for parcel on city's northeast side," by journalist Andrew Wind. Waverly. A $577,200 purchase of land where a new elementary school will be built on the city's northeast side was unanimously approved Monday by the Board of Education. A total of 38.48 acres at 2513 Horton Road was part of the agreement. "That's $15,000 an acre," said Ed Clamford, superintendent of Waverly Shellrock Community Schools. "It looks like it's going to be on the southern end of that property," he said, of the building's placement. Clamford noted that the Summit Drive northeast intersection with Horton would potentially be used as one of the entrances to the school property. "Any portion of the parcel north of the school that isn't needed will be sold." Previously, the district had only said the purchase would be some portion of 120 acres of land in that area. Bremer County online records show the district is buying the property from Karen Neiman of Shellrock, who is listed as the deed holder. Its 2021 assessed value is $51,300 and $50, including a garage on the parcel. The planned school is one of the two elementary buildings the district will construct after voters approve a $31 million bond issue on March 2nd. In February, ahead of the referendum, the district announced it had negotiated purchase agreements with property owners on the two school sites, with the exact acreage and location still to be worked out. The total estimated cost of each new school is $15.1 million to $17.1 million. Listeners, including the land purchase prices. Facility improvements are also proposed at Shell Rock Elementary and the high school, with additional funding from the district's 1% sales tax revenues. Kate Payne of Envision Architect in Waterloo, which is designing the new schools, said work will begin first on those buildings. The plan right now is to do the two different elementary schools in parallel, she said. Bids would be due in February and March next year, with construction wrapping up in the summer of 2023 for fall opening. Once the new elementary schools have opened, Payne said that would provide more space for students while the renovation work is going on in the Shell Rock building. It would shorten the renovation timeline dramatically if the students temporarily moved out of the school. She said that could mean relocating them to one of the vacated Waverly schools. The other new school site is on the west side of Waverly. It was planned on what was formerly known as Champions Ridge, but has shifted to an area north of that. Clanford said he wasn't sure how soon a purchase will be finalized as officials continue to work through the details with landowners. In other business, the board approved a $206,800 bid to pave the high school parking lot from Heartland Asphalt. This is for the entire student parking lot on the east side of the building, said Clanford. The Mason City Company was the only bidder on the project, which could be completed by August 14th. Cost was estimated at $195,000. Okay, listeners, our last story article on the front page of the Courier is Reynolds OK's Diversity Plan Ban Transfer Deadline Waiver by journalist Katie Aiken, Iowa Capital Dispatch. Governor Kim Reynolds signed a bill into law Monday afternoon that bans voluntary diversity plans at Iowa schools. School districts will no longer be able to restrict open enrollment to promote diversity at an institution. The change will affect five school districts, Des Moines, Davenport, and Waterloo, which have socioeconomic metrics of diversity, and West Liberty and Postville, where English language learners are considered. The bill takes effect immediately. The March 1st open enrollment deadline is waived for students in those five districts who want to transfer before this fall. A nonpartisan legislative service agency analysis of the bill estimated that more than 500 students would choose to leave these five districts and choose new schools for the 2021-22 school year. That would mean a funding dip for the districts as the state appropriates money based on the number of students enrolled. The LSA estimates a $554,175 decrease in state per pupil funds for Waterloo schools under the new bill, which would equate to 75 new open enrollments out of the district for classes starting in the fall. Another 57 students leaving at the cost of $431,832 under the new open enrollment option is estimated for the 2022-23 school year. Other, our education should be about the kids, Representative Dustin Height, Republican from New Sharon, said, and not about the school districts themselves. The Iowa Capital Dispatch is part of the state's newsroom, a network of news outlets supported by grants and a coalition of donors. As a 501c3 public charity, Iowa Capital Dispatch maintains editorial independence. We'll go on to some Cedar Valley news today for Tuesday, May 11th. Peace Officer Memorial Day returns. Waterloo Ceremony is Thursday after hiatus caused by coronavirus. By journalist Jeff Franounce, Waterloo. Annual Peace Officer Memorial Day ceremonies will return Thursday following a hiatus caused by the coronavirus pandemic. The event, which honors local officers who lost their lives in the line of duty, is scheduled for 11 a.m. Thursday at the Waterloo Veterans Memorial Hall, 104 West 5th Street. This year's ceremony will include a special observance marking 40 years since Waterloo Police Officer Michael Hohen and Wayne Rice were shot and killed while on duty. The two had been sent to a loud music complaint on Franklin Street in the early morning hours of July 18, 1981. During the call, a fight broke out, and James Michael T-Bone Taylor grabbed an officer's handgun and shot them. In the ensuing manhunt for Taylor, Blackhawk County Sheriff's Deputy William Mulliken died in a car crash. Taylor was apprehended and died in prison in 2014. Coach Jim Miller, director of the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Museum and the Dan Gable Museum, will be the keynote speaker. The event is free and open to the public. This year, the names of 394 officers killed in the line of duty were added to the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial in Washington, D.C. That includes 295 officers who died during the 2020, plus 99 officers who died in previous years. Blackhawk County area law enforcement officers killed in the line of duty over the years include Officer John E. Bailey, Waterloo Police Department, 1902. Officer Fred B. Widman, Waterloo Police Department, 1908. Officer William Goodenbor, Waterloo Police Department, 1920. Officer Vinton J. Martinez, Waterloo Police Department, 1925. Deputy Wendell F. Dilworth, Blackhawk County Sheriff's Office, 1932. Officer Everett Dutcher, Cedar Falls Police Department, 1945. Officer William R. Melhorn, Waterloo Police Department, 1956. Officer Gabrielle C. Lafboisie, LaPorte City Police Department, 1976. Officer Wayne R. Rice, Waterloo Police Department, 1981. Officer Michael W. Hone, Waterloo Police Department, 1981. Deputy William F. Mulliken, Blackhawk County Sheriff's Office, 1981. Trooper Charles G. Whitney, Iowa State Patrol, 1985. Trooper Lance G. Deese, Iowa State Patrol, 1989. Officer Adam Little, Waterloo Police Department, 2015. The article is accompanied by a picture taken by Jeff Franounce, an honor guard made up of, and the caption reads, an honor guard made up of officers from local agencies fire a rifle volley in honor of the fallen comrades during the Peace Officer Memorial Service in Waterloo on Wednesday, May 15, 2019. All right, our next article in the Cedar Valley News, Multifamily Housing Plan Gets Waverly Zoning Approval. City Seeking Proposal for Former Washington Irving School Location by journalist Amy Rivers. Waverly, a city-owned former elementary school site in the 100-year floodplain, has been rezoned to allow for multifamily housing in a bid to help solve the affordable housing problem in Waverly. The city's Planning and Zoning Commission approved last week a 5-2 vote moving the triangle-shaped lot from R2 residential, which only permits single-family or duplex housing, to an R3 for multiple-family residents, which would allow up to 4 units per dwelling. The decision, which Commissioner Dave Huser and Rich Dane voted against, follows the City Council's decision to approve a request for proposals from developers that want to build on the former Washington Irving School site located on 2nd Avenue Southwest and the 6th Street Southwest. So Zoning administrators, Isaac Pezel, said the location was chosen because its proximity to the high school, Wartburg College, the downtown business district, and the trail system. It also has the benefit of being infill development, meaning city utilities would run the area and streets won't have to be built. Up to 25 units could be built on this site, given density and setback requirements. But Pinsel said it was more likely going to be less. The units are expected to sell for $175,000 to $225,000, which Pinsel noted was more affordable than the average closing price of $281,000 in the city. "We know it's going to be hitting needs in the housing market in this community," Pinsel told the zoning board, "but we want to make sure this is also going to be something that the neighbors can look at and say, I wasn't on board with this at first, but it's a good development. We're proud of this development. It fits with the historic neighborhood. It'll take a bit of convincing to get some neighbors on board." Some neighbors who contacted the panel expressed worries about garage placement, potential problems with storm waters and sewer lines, additional traffic, whether the units would be rented out, and whether they would truly be affordable. Commissioner Hauser and Dane were more concerned with the density and rezoning could create. "A high-density population area in amongst this type of neighborhood is wrong," Hauser said. "I think if I lived down there, I wouldn't want those across the street from me." But the majority said they thought the multifamily rezoning provided a reasonable transition between neighborhood single-family residents and the commercial district. "That, to me, makes this a good site for that," Commissioner Mary French said. Next in the Cedar Valley News, Waverly-Shell Rock to share position with two other districts. Dyke New Hartford, Grundy Center split human resource job. By journalist Andrew Wind. Waverly. The Board of Education approved a sharing agreement for a human resource director with two other school districts Monday after being notified that the city wanted to end their three-year agreement. Waverly-Shell Rock Community Schools will now share the position with Dyke New Hartford and Grundy Center School District. In reaching out to some other districts, these two were definitely interested, Superintendent Ann Clamford told the board. The City of Waverly employs the current shared director and is moving that to a full-time, dedicated position. The other two districts don't employ a human resource person. "We would hold the contract," said Clamford. "Waverly-Shell Rock will cover 60% of the director's salary and benefits, with the other two districts each covering 20%. He noted the district will begin advertising immediately. A salary range is not set, but officials who look at the candidate's experience. The board also approved two-year wage agreements with several employee groups. The wages of 175 support staff will be boosted by 3.04% for the fiscal year starting July 1st and 3% for the 2022-23 year. For the 21-22, custodial staff will receive a 25-cent increase in hourly pay. Wages will grow 50 cents per hour for food service staff, associates, and secretaries. Bus drivers will receive a $1 per hour increase, and substitute teachers will get a $5 daily boost in pay. Hourly starting wages for the coming year will range from $14 for custodial aides to $20 for custodians. Substitute teachers will be paid $125 per day. Wages for existing employees now range from $14.50 to $26.12 per hour for the various positions and experience levels. Salaries and benefits will grow by 3% each year for 7 administrators and 6 directors. Central administrators, excluding the superintendent and building principals, are part of one group. The other group includes supervisors, coordinators, and social workers. The agreement follows a 2-year contract with the Waverly-Shell Rock Education Association approved in April that includes a 3.26% salary increase and $685 onto the base wage boost the first year, followed by 3% in salaries in the second. In other business, the board approved hiring Katie Johnston as Director of Educational Services. to replace Bridget Wagner, who is leaving to become Mason City Community Schools Director of Curriculum and Instruction. Johnson is currently principal of North Cedar Elementary School in Cedar Falls. Other Cedar Valley news, two arrested in Waterloo storage unit burglaries by journalist Jeff Renounci. Waterloo. Two people have been arrested for allegedly breaking into storage units. Waterloo police arrested Chad Richard Chandler, 39, and Amber Marie Brown, 24, of 3223 Bristol Drive on Friday for five counts of third-degree burglary. Bond was set at $10,000 apiece. Officers were called to break-ins at Castle Storage, 2721 Diagonal Road, on April 16th for a report of a burglary. The police found locks had been cut on storage units at the business. The crime happened around 2:15 a.m. April 16th, and security cameras recorded footage of people carrying bags and boxes from storage. A short time after the break-in, Blackhawk County Sheriff's deputies stopped a vehicle in the area and found Chandler and Brown inside. Authorities said the two matched the description of people in the surveillance video. Officers continue to investigate the burglaries. Next in Cedar Valley News, the headline reads, Waterloo House Hit by Gunfire, by Jeff Renounci. Waterloo. Police are investigating a shooting that damaged a Waterloo home. Neighbors called 911 around 9:15 p.m. on Friday after hearing gunfire. Officers found bullets struck a house at 719 West 1st Street, but no injuries were reported. No arrests have been made in connection to the shooting. The Waterloo Bucks announced broadcast crew. Waterloo. The Waterloo Bucks have announced their 2021 broadcasting crew. Thomas Breach, who returns for his third season with Waterloo, will handle the online audio broadcast for the summer. Elliot Clow will join as the NWL-TV webcast announcer. The Bucks hold their home opener on June 3rd at Riverfront Stadium. The ballpark now has a video board that, thanks to the matching grant from the Blackhawk County Gaming Association. Team ownership has invested nearly $400,000 in stadium improvements since the end of the 2014 season, including group outing areas, painted bleachers, public Wi-Fi, sound system, kids zone inflatables, wiffle ball field, and concessions improvements. You are listening to the reading of the Waterloo-Cedar Falls paper, The Courier, for Tuesday, May 11th, 2021, on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Now let's turn to today's obituaries. Dorothy Carolyn Jensen Mall, September 30, 1923 to May 5, 2021. Bolingbrook, Illinois. Dorothy Carolyn Jensen Mall passed away peacefully with family at her home in Bolingbrook, Illinois on May 5, 2021. At the age of 97. Dorothy was born September 30, 1923, in Lone Rock, Iowa, to Esther and Ernest Jensen. She was the second of six children. Her siblings, Marion Wald of Tucson, Arizona, Don Jensen of Rochester, Minnesota, Helen Howe, Muscatine, Iowa, Jerry Jensen of Fountain Valley, California, and Richard Jensen, now deceased, formerly of Tucson, Arizona, and her cousin, Mildred Tootie Lupton of Muscatine, Iowa, often shared tales of their outings and fun-loving personality. Dorothy was a valedictorian and graduate from Lone Rock High School in 1941. She graduated from Iowa State Teachers College and taught 8th grade science in Wilton, Iowa. She had an antique business for many years in Muscatine, which fueled her passion for early morning garage sales. Her family was the center of her life, and she loved family gatherings. She married William Mull in Lone Rock, Iowa. They were married February 17, 1946, to June 5, 1972. Dorothy and Bill have seven children. Ann Kaufman with spouse Ron Wayzati of Minnesota, Barbara Collins and spouse Alan of Muscatine, Iowa, Judy Myers and spouse Gary of Cedar Falls, Iowa, Kath Mull Smith with spouse Connor of Bronx, New York, John Mull and Mary of Boiling Brook, Illinois, Virginia Kafer with spouse Chris of Maple Grove, Minnesota, Cynthia Hayes of Boiling Brook, Illinois. She had 14 grandchildren, Catherine, Matthew, Nathan, Greg, Mac, Liam, Sarah, Jenny, Dylan, Katie, Alex, Nick, Allison, and Cassandra, and 12 great-grandchildren. Dorothy was an active member of Wesley United Methodist Church in Muscatine for over 50 years. It was rumored that her prayer circle was faster connecting people with support than the internet. A celebration of her will be on August 1, 2021 in Hackensack, Minnesota. In her honor, the family requests any memorials to be made to National Alliance of Mental Illness, 4301 Wilson Boulevard, Suite Number 300, Arlington, Virginia, 22203. Our next obituary for today is Burdette Lee Johnson, born September 30th, 1936 to May 9th, 2021, Shell Rock. Burdette Lee Johnson, 84 of Shell Rock, Iowa, passed away on May 9th, 2021 at his home in Shell Rock. Burdette was born September 30th, 1936 in Aurora, Iowa, the son of Duane Charles and Winifred May Mulford Johnson. He graduated from Independence High School in 1955. He was united in marriage to Ellen Janet White, the daughter of Robert and Frances White, Witt of Cedar Falls, on December 28th. In 1957 in Cedar Falls, together the couple farmed, bred, and raised quarter horses near Shell Rock. His love of horses found him traveling around the world by judging horses. He served 29 years at the Butler County Fair Board. He was a long-term director of the American Quarter Horse Association, representing the state of Iowa. He also served 9 years on the board of directors for Iowa Quarter Horse Association and is a lifetime member of the American Quarter Horse Association. In his spare time, Burdette enjoyed fishing, hunting, and dancing. Burdette is survived by his wife, Ellen White Johnson of Shell Rock, a son, Craig Johnson of Shell Rock, and a daughter, Brenda Johnson Nope of Atlanta, Georgia. Two grandchildren, Kylie and Mitch Nope Vogerson and Sarah Reed Johnson Hollerman, a great-grandchild, Jackson Burdette, and two brothers, Rick and his spouse, Shelley Johnson of Winthrop, and Darwin and his spouse, Mary Jean Johnson of Independence. He was preceded in death by his parents and a brother, Glenn. The family will greet family and friends from 1 to 3 p.m. on Wednesday, May 12, 2021, at the Kaiser Corson Funeral Home in Shell Rock, followed by a memorial service at 3 p.m. at the funeral home. Burial will be held at a later date in Greenwood Cemetery in Cedar Falls. Memorials may be directed to the Cedar Valley Hospice. Online condolences may be left at www.kaisercorson.com. Kaiser Corson Funeral Home in Shell Rock is assisting the family with arrangements. You may call at 319-885-4321. Thomas J. Hicks, USA, retired. Waverly. LTC Thomas J. Hicks, USA, retired, 80, of Waverly, Iowa, passed away Saturday evening, May 8, 2021, at the Waverly Health Center. Funeral services will be held at 10:30 a.m. on Thursday, May 13, 2021, at the Kaiser Corson Funeral Home in Waverly, with Pastor Alan Breer and Keith Tomlinson officiating. Burial will be followed at St. Paul's Lutheran Cemetery, Waverly. Military rites will be provided by family by the Waverly Area Veterans Group, Honor Guard, Army, Iowa Honor Guard, and the Patriot Guard Riders. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. on Wednesday, May 12, 2021, at the Kaiser Corson Funeral Home in Waverly, and 1 hour prior to the service. Memorials may be directed to Unity Point Hospice, Condolences may be left at www.kaisercorson.com. Kaiser Corson Funeral Home in Waverly is assisting the family. You may call at 319-352-1187. Okay, let's turn our attention to some sports news today. In girls prep soccer, Gohawks roll past Sailors. Columbus suffers its first loss to Class 2A top ranked. By Craig Sisker, Courier correspondent. Waterloo. Kinsey Rowling is the lethal weapon that nobody can stop. The standout from Waverly Shell Rock senior turned in another dazzling display, connecting for 6 goals in soccer play for Monday at the TJ McLaughlin Field. Rowling booted home 3 goals in the first 15 minutes to spark the Class 2A number 1 Gohawks to a convincing 7-1 win over Class 1A number 2 Waterloo Columbus. It was important to jump on them early and build some momentum, Rowling said. We're always trying to get better and work on our game. We keep playing hard and we never let up. Rowling, a University of Iowa commit, scored 4 goals in the first half and added 2 in the second. She also assisted on the team's other goal, a second-half tally by junior Morgan Akey. Rowling has scored 39 goals this season. Kenzie just continues to raise her level of play, Waverly Shell Rock coach Lauren Greiner said. She has made a really big jump, and that's attributed to all the extra work she puts in during the off-season. She's a student of the game and has continued to learn and grow. She's always progressing. Rowling has scored more than 100 career goals in high school, despite missing her junior year after it was canceled because of the COVID-19 pandemic. She led Waverly Shell Rock to state runner-up finishers in 2018 and 2019. The Gohawks, who are 10-2 overall, have won 9 straight matches and are peaking at the right time. We have one goal in mind, which is the state championship, Rowling said. We still have a lot of work to do before we can reach that goal. We just have to keep pushing forward. The Gohawks were dominant against a strong Columbus squad that entered Monday's play with a perfect 10-0 mark. One of our goals was to play solid for 80 minutes, and I think our kids played hard the entire game. We never gave up. Columbus coach Julie Grish said, unfortunately, we couldn't get behind their defensive line as much as we wanted to. When we had the opportunity, we capitalized. We just didn't have many chances. Waverly Shell Rock used an aggressive attack to keep the ball on its offense end of the field for nearly the entire 80-minute match. Rowling received her share of assistance during Monday's impressive win. I wouldn't be where I am without my teammates. They do an amazing job, Rowling said. Without them getting the ball to me, I wouldn't be able to score those types of goals. Our team was ready for the challenge. Columbus has a very good team, and it was a good test for us. The Sailors continued to play hard and closed within 4-1 when leading scorer Nikayla Youngblut found the back of the net early in the second half. The sophomore scored her 22nd goal of the season. Rowling then came back less than 2 minutes later, firing a shot in to build the Gohawk to a lead of 5-1. Waverly Shell Rock kept the pressure on and added 2 more goals in the decisive victory. It was a total team effort, Greiner said. It's been fun to coach our players and watch them grow and become a cohesive unit. We are excited for what's to come in the rest of the season. For Columbus, it received a chance to measure itself against a top-level opponent from a bigger class. Overall, I'm super proud of our team, the coach said. They have a great program, and we knew it. It was going to be a great match. The only way we're going to get better is to play teams like that. This is one of the best teams we will see all year. Congratulations to the soccer team of Waverly Shell Rock. Other sports news today. Faraday wins NICL East medal. Staff report, Sumner, Iowa. Waterloo Columbus, Molly Faraday, secured medalist honors with the 8 strokes over the field Monday in the NICL East meet at Sumner's Meadowbrook Country Club. Dyke New Hartford, led by Jillian Bruder's runner-up, finished finished atop the team standings with a score of 397. Sumner Fredericksburg was second at 406, followed by Denver 407 and Columbus with 410. In boys, NICL East golf meet at Fox Ridge, Applington Parkersburg, Will Stege secured medalist honors with a score of 75. Hutchinson edged Union by 6 strokes for the team title with a 324. Valley Divisionals. Dubuque Hempstead is the 27-hole leader at the Valley Divisionals Girls Golf Meet through competition on Monday at Twin Pines in Cedar Rapids. Hempstead Morgan Hawkins carded an 18-hole score of 71 on Monday and moved into first place individually with a total of 123. Waterloo West Maddie Dolan and Chase Dolan recorded scores of 85 and 86 respectively on Monday. They set 6th and 7th overall. The Wahawks tied with Dubuque Senior for 4th place in team standings at 588. Cedar Rapids Kennedy is 3rd with a 27-hole secure and 584. Mississippi Divisional at Dubuque Bunker Hill, Iowa City Liberty moved to the top of the Mississippi Divisional girls golf standings with the low 18-hole score of 332, good, for a 27-hole total of 511 after 2 days of competition. Cedar Falls recorded a score of 350 and sits 3rd in the overall standings, 6 strokes back of Western Dubuque. Cedar Falls Amara Little finished runner-up of the day with a score of 76. In tennis, Waterloo Columbus scored regular season play with a 9-0 win over a shorthanded Grundy Center team in a duel that included 4 contested matches. The Sailors won all 40 games that were played. Simon Larson secured a 10-0 victory at number 1 singles, and Patrick Underwood won in the number 2 position. John Dobson and Joseph Haig also, along with Alex Feldman and Alex Boozer, won their double matches by 10-0 margins. Columbus will return to action on Wednesday during the district tournament in Waverly. In other Metro news of sports, you and I, Kaylin Packard earns MVC Weekly honor. Northern Iowa's Kaylee Packard was named the Missouri Valley Conference Pitcher and Newcomer of the Week for her play against Southern Illinois over the weekend. This is the second Newcomer of the Week honor and the first Pitcher of the Week on honor for Packard. Packard had a dominant performance in the circle against the Salkies, going 2-0 with a back-to-back shutout, including a no-hitter. In track and field news, Wartburg Dallas Wright was awarded the American Rivers Conference Men's Track Performer of the Week honor. Wright almost recently helped Wartburg secure a dual win over Luther College with wins in the 200-meter dash and the 110-meter hurdles. His 200 and 110 hurdle time ranks among the top 5 in Wartburg history. Here's some Olympic news, listeners. The IOC chief cancels trip to Japan amid COVID surge, by Stephen Wade, Associated Press, Tokyo. The IOC president, Thomas Bach, has canceled a trip to Japan because of surging cases of COVID-19 in the country. The Tokyo Olympic Organizing Committee said Monday in a statement. Bach, who was to visit Hiroshima next Monday and meet the torch relay and then probably travel to Tokyo. Organizing Committee President Tsuyoki Hashimoto said last week that the trip would be tough for Bach to make, which was interpreted in Japan as meaning it was canceled. The trip was made impossible because of a state of emergency in Tokyo and other parts of the country that has been extended until May 31st. The state of emergency was to have ended on Tuesday. The statement said Bach's visit would be made as soon as possible. The postponement is an embarrassment to the IOC and local organizers with the Olympics opening in just over 10 weeks. Organizers with the IOC have repeatedly said the Olympics will not be canceled and will be safe and secure. Well, good luck. We hope that does happen. All right, let's look at some other news before I end today's reading with my favorite part of the paper. Alcoholic Drink Delivery Driver's Ed Bill Now Law by James Lynch, Des Moines. Governor Kim Reynolds has signed into law allowing parents to teach driver's ed to their children and another allowing delivery of alcoholic beverages from bars and restaurants by third-party delivery services such as Uber and DoorDash. Without commenting on any of the bills, the governor signed 17 pieces of legislation Monday. Among them is House File 766, which removes a requirement that delivers of alcoholic beverages to be made by a vehicle owned or leased under the control of the holder of an alcoholic license or permit. Senate File 546 is an expansion of the 2011 law that allows parents to teach driver's ed to their homeschool children. It increases the amount of time a student spends driving with a parent, but eliminates the role of an instructor, both in the classroom and behind the wheel. Opponents warn that parents aren't always the best role models for children learning to drive, and that possessing a driver's license does not qualify someone to teach. Also, Reynolds signed the House File 602, a bill that will grant school boards authority to transfer funds to boost depleted activity budgets for sports, music, and other extracurricular activities. Backers say many schools have dramatically fewer ticket sales for games, reduced student fees, and canceled fundraisers due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So the House and Senate agreed to let school boards shift money from a district's general education budget to cover deficits in extracurricular programs or co-curricular activities. The bill took effect upon enactment. Governor removes vet home executive. No reason offered for leadership change. Associated Press, Marshalltown. Governor Kim Reynolds has removed the chief executor of the state's nursing home for veterans and their spouses months after praising his response to the coronavirus pandemic, her office said. Reynolds spokesman Pat Garrett said, Timon Yujiri was relieved of his duties as commandant of the Iowa Veterans Home in Marshalltown last week. He offered no additional information on the leadership change at the facility, which is Iowa's largest nursing home. Reynolds appointed Ojuri as commandant in 2017, and the Iowa Senate confirmed him in 2018. In his role, he oversaw one of the nation's largest state-owned nursing homes for veterans, with around 500 residents and 900 employees. In December, the governor appeared with Ojuri at one of her news conferences and praised his work he had done protecting the home staff and residents during the pandemic. You and your team have done such an outstanding job, Reynolds said. Job well done. Ojuri, 63, returned the support, saying the governor had ensured the home had adequate personal protective equipment and testing supplies. He said then that 21 of the home's residents tested positive for COVID-19 in 2020, and that 5 of them died. In February, state inspectors found that the home was in compliance with federal infection control standards for COVID-19. Messages left at Ojuri weren't immediately returned. As of 2020, a state salary database showed his annual salary was $126,000. Commandment serve as the pleasure of the governor. It wasn't immediately clear if he, a retired Army colonel, remained in state employee in any capacity. Well, we hope to learn more about that. All right, listeners, let's turn our attention to my favorite part of the paper, and maybe it is yours as well. Call the Courier. Question. I never get a live person when I call the 800 number for the IRS. Is there a way you can talk to someone live there? Answer. Several websites list this advice for eventually getting to a live representative, although later versions say even this hack has proved unsuccessful after the most recent round of stimulus payments was announced. When you call the IRS, there is no simple option to talk to a live person at the IRS. Each selection leads to more choices, rarely leading to a live person. Follow the following steps to get a live IRS person as soon as possible. First step, call the IRS customer support number at 1-800-829-0922 or call 1-800-829-1040. Second, choose your language, 1 for English. Third, dial 2 for answers about your personal income tax. 4. Dial 1 for questions about a form you have already submitted. Step 5. Dial 3 for all other questions. Step 6. Dial 2 for all other questions. Step 7. When prompted for either your Social Security number or employer identification number, do not input anything. Step 8. After 2 requests, another menu will come up. Dial 2 for personal or individual tax questions. Step 9, dial 4 for all other inquiries. Good luck. Whew. Question, what is the penalty in Iowa for one count of animal neglect causing death? Answer, a person who commits animal neglect that causes serious injury or death to an animal is guilty of an aggravated misdemeanor, generally punishable by up to 2 years in jail and a fine of between $625 to $6,250. Question, have you ever answered why President Biden stopped the Keystone Pipeline yet? Answer, more than once, most recently on March 1st. The question was, why did President Biden shut down the pipeline? Stopping the project was part of President Biden's plan to address climate change. Environmentalists opposed the Keystone XL pipeline because of the oil sands crude it would have carried. Producing that oil requires an extra process that emits more of the greenhouse gases that contribute to the climate change. Native American tribes and landowners in western states also had been fighting the project since almost as soon as it was unveiled over environmental concerns. Question, will the Burns Park Swimming Pool be open this year? Answer, Burns Park Swimming Pool is scheduled to be open from June 5th to August 15th, and Gates Park from June 5th to August 8th. Question, how can I donate to the Cedar Trails Partnership for Trail Maintenance? The address for the Cedar Trails Partnership is 6510 Hudson Road, Cedar Falls, 50613. For more information, go to www.cedartrailspartnership.org/join-donate. Question. In the story about the retiree from the Gilbertville meat locker, you left out what will happen with the locker. Will someone take it over? Will it sell? Answer. The story was about a longtime butcher who is retiring. The current owner still owns the business. The business will remain open. And that does it today, listeners, for the reading of the Courier for Tuesday, May 11th, 2021. I'm your reader, Mary Dove. You can access a recording of today's reading at our website, iowaradioreading.org, anytime. Thanks for listening and have a great day.